Good evening. This is Mae Bressel. It's broadcast number 682, December 31st, 1984. A few more hours, and this year will be tucked away. I've saved articles for the past few years on legal repressions. Those are laws or changes that could come about if the administration wanted to do it at any particular time. The fact that they haven't used those means of suppressing our liberties doesn't mean that they haven't thought about it. They're available, and I'll update some of those for you on another broadcast. I want to thank you for sending money to the station. We had difficulty with the equipment. I made the request, and after 1 week, I wondered if I was getting too discouraged because there wasn't any help from outside people with the exception of one person. But in the past week, many of you have sent in a large amount of money to Kazoo. They're very appreciative, and I thought it was appropriate because of the nature of this material and the opportunity we have to share it with other people that my listeners should give a sizable amount to show that they appreciate that kind of news, and they did come through. I haven't come to a conclusion as to whether just cut off broadcasts and write a book this year or articles. I'm waiting and getting a lot of feedback from the suggestions or questions I asked, and I appreciate your answers and calls. Right now, the broadcast will go on as they are every week, coming out with the news of the week, and I will be writing, trying to write, a few hours each day. I'm going to cut down on the telephone calls and not take calls day and night that are here for no particular reason except conversation. Unless there's something of utmost importance, I'm going to limit those calls to friends and family and longtime researchers and not be available for so many people all during the day. I'm not going to answer mail. I answered a few letters and didn't fill in the request for sheets that go with the broadcast. I'm not going to make those available. The sheets accompany the tape cassettes, and I'm not going to be stuffing envelopes anymore on Tuesday and Wednesday or mail that comes for large numbers of sheets at any price. Whatever the cost is for printing, it doesn't cover the time it takes to open the mail and to pull out those sheets. So I'm not going to send those out, and I'm only going to answer mail if you want an answer from me. If you have sent some material or packages or books, send a postcard with your address on it. I don't mind putting the stamp on it, but I don't want to spend the time addressing it. And I'll just say it was received, thank you, and have a postcard ready or an envelope if you want something in it, but not reprints of articles or copies. I can't provide that service for everybody all the time, and so I'm going to cut that down. Unless you are hard researchers, you know which ones are, you yourself know, and are supplying information and using information, writing books, attorneys, writing magazine articles, people that are, you know, accumulating information to be used for some purpose. The doors, of course, are open for that, but outside of that, I'm going to cut the correspondence and the talking right down to the bone. And that way, maybe I can write and do the radio work at the same time if I cut that personal time, and this is what I'm going to try to do. Now, last year when I wrote the story on the Korean Air line for Larry Flint for Rebel Magazine, I had to draw a picture I designed of the Larry McDonald pie with a picture of Larry McDonald in the center. And then there were various elements that pertained to Larry McDonald's life, because the theme of the article was the importance of this particular character was downed at that time. And while I was only writing about the airline, the Korean airline, and the response of the pilots and the necessity for Larry McDonald to testify in Los Angeles with the lawsuit, the ACLU suit representing 130 plaintiffs against the Los Angeles Police Department, I wanted to explain the parts of Larry McDonald, or some of them, seven different parts of him, so that the Korean Airlines story fit in with those others, with the police spying, but it also fit in with the international, national computers that go to Germany and Vienna with past Nazis. They still may be present Nazis, I don't know. And the links of in Atlanta, Georgia, of his contacts and supporters to the murder of John Kennedy and Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King, or associations with data banks and intelligence digests such as John Reese gets out, and Nazis from Germany who worked with Senator Joe McCarthy and then Louise Reese, whose husband was working with Western Goals, working for Senator Joe McCarthy. And I have, as I say, this piece of a pie, so that when you talk about Larry McDonald, you know that he taps all these various bases, and you can't write a story and just isolate one incident without making it available how important that particular person is in terms of a lot of other relationships that are ongoing at the same time. Now, along the Larry McDonald pie, I've drawn for you for a nice New Year's present, because you're so sweet. I didn't send out Christmas cards. What I call the history puzzle that fits together. It's the same idea, and there are pieces of the puzzle here that have taken me many years to figure out, and there are other researchers who have come to the same conclusions as these. I didn't leave much space here for other pieces to be added, but we'll do an updated puzzle in 1985 at the end of the year. But by the end of this year, 1984, and I completed 21 years of research into the murder of John Kennedy, I came across all these other sections of the pieces of puzzle before I was satisfied to really begin to write a book, and that's why I felt it was time to write a book this year. And I have never been under the pressure to do it, because I wanted to understand the whole process by which assassinations take place, how they're covered up, how they're financed, what the goals were, what preceded it, what's happening now. And I feel very satisfied. This has been a good year. It's a bad year for news, but it's a good year for me, because my quest seems to fit together, and it fits to other people doing research and other people writing books and studying the same problem from different approaches. Eventually, I think our story all fits together, and all the books that I have on the assassination or other conspiracies fall into these categories. And I listed here, you can read the sheet that accompanies the broadcast, but for those of you who hear this on the air, I listed some of the major categories that go into controlling our world. The purpose of killing John Kennedy wasn't because he happened to be Catholic. The purpose was much larger, and the fear that he would have peace with the Soviet Union, that he might pull back out of the war in Southeast Asia, which was important to the system, his nuclear test ban treaty, fighting up against NASA and the powers that be there, or the oil depletion allowances, or the anger of the South, and the racist, because he wanted to educate the blacks and integrate into the school system. There were a lot of reasons to kill John Kennedy, and in studying John Kennedy's life and the people behind killing him, the various factions fit into this framework too. Basically, the categories are the think tanks, and I'll run those down for you, the types. This isn't inclusive of all think tanks, but the type. The deposed refugees, the rulers who are no longer wanted in their particular countries, the United States and British intelligence that combined with the Vatican spy network during the war and after the war, the Vatican Sovereign Military Knights of Malta, the Order of Malta, the oldest piece of this puzzle, going back to the year 1000, this is a continuation of what is known as the Inquisition mentality. The London Times had a long article several weeks ago on the Vatican now and fighting the free world and the underprivileged or other people around them, and asked the question, is this the Inquisition, or stating it is the Inquisition, and the policies of the Vatican have been continuous since the year 1000, but they're becoming very apparent right now. The World Anti-Communist League was something born out after the last war that has the deposed refugees and rulers as members of that group and past Nazis, but it also has some new people like Reverend Moon and Mr. Sasakawa, and very powerful people in the combine of rabid anti-fascists and narcotics, and working with the political heads of the various countries. There's the utilization of veterans who lost a few wars. The Germans that lost their war, the Japanese that lost their war, the Americans, General Patton's boys and General Clark's boys, who wanted to fight Russia as soon as the war was over, and they weren't allowed to do that. The Vietnam veterans and the South Korean vets who didn't get to use a nuclear bomb over there that the various military officials wanted. the anti-Castro Cubans that didn't succeed after the Bay of Pigs. And again, these people mingle with mafia and military together. The little armies are very important. These are some of the biggest stories now that I want to share with you later and through this year. The special forces, the private military teams that will act when Congress doesn't want a war, when you have your 50 states voting for your members of Congress and they don't want a war, then the little armies will give you the war anyway. These are special forces, the Green Berets, the Nazi set up in North Carolina made by General Franz Albert Sieks, Hitler's army, and Otto Skorzeny. The SEALs, the Navy SEALs, the Rangers, those are the Black Berets. There's 20,000 of them waiting to fight anywhere now. They use Grenada as a testing place to see the reaction of people in America to their coming in and just simply grabbing and taking over a country. There's the Money Tree Foundations that work with the think tanks. They're covers for spreading money. They don't necessarily make policy such as the think tanks. Along the think tank lines, I've listed a few like the Heritage Foundation, the Anderson Fund, the Stanford University, the Hoover Institute on Peace, War, and Revolution, the American Leadership Foundation, the Georgetown Center, Coalition of Peace Through Strength, the Rockefeller Funds, the Institute for Strategic Trade. Those are just a few ideas of the think tanks around this, just a sample. The Money Tree Foundations are groups exposed in the late 60s and are still operating that put in money from various well-known names, people, funds, special funds, and then that is where the CIA draws their money out of to do their actions and activities all over the world. The Dreyfus Fund, the Kaplan Fund, the Union of Bishops of Orthodox Church outside Russia, the American Friends of the Middle East, the Baird Foundation, the Hobby Foundation, Jones O'Donnell, the Brown Foundation, CIA defense money, Defense Industry Security Command money. Those funds go from the money tree. They get shaken down from the money tree. Congress allocates a few, well, now it's quite a few billion dollars in spy money, and they just don't write checks from the CIA, so they put it through various foundations so that it looks like people are working on causes, writers, lawyers, labor leaders, newscasters. It looks like they're working on particular jobs, but their money comes shaking from this money tree. Then there's a corporate role that has arrangements for coups. They alter elections, they control the resources, and mostly their role is not only the spying, but the making of profit. This, and you make profit by giving lower wages, which reduces itself to slavery, moving factories overseas where we don't keep track of what pay is given to those laborers. This has to do with the monopoly of patents, resources, minerals, energy, oil. Corporations like ITT, General Motors, Dow Chemical, Ford Motor Company, Bunge Corporation, Lockheed, the American Medical Association that has to do with health matters, communications. Those are the large newspaper chains, the radio and the TV, the money people in the media business, and the weapon production, of course, the Rockwells and the Lockheed, Northrop, the manufacturing of weapons is a big profitable matter, and the Fortune 400 has quite a few of those people and their families, and then there's the giant mergers. Another important part of this picture is mafia and drug connections, and I might say in going into these various pieces of this puzzle that the reason they're important, and I tried to summarize conclusions of work I've done in the past 21 years, is that specific people that you see in the news jump into all these other areas. They all fit together. They're not separate. So when you talk about mafia and drug connections, you get up to the Knights of Malta or the Vatican or through the think tanks or through the deposed refugees, whether it's the family of the Shah of Iran, and you get into the OSS CIA spy network. But the mafia and drug connections is very important because of the tremendous profit in growing poppies, hashish, and heroin, and the cocaine. The incorporation of the Italian mafia into the intelligence and Pentagon plans was a major step in making sure that huge profits for guns, for this fascism, this future fascism, come from the selling of narcotics, and also the narcotic people can hit and provide kill teams such as Sam Giancana or Carlos Marcello, Santo Trafficante, John Rosselli, working for Robert Mayhew and the CIA, which is the intelligence apparatus working under the guise of a used aircraft. So the mafia team, when we brought in Mr. Genovese, took him out of jail in New York, a part of that Murder Incorporated and a crime gang, and sent him to Sicily. And Michael Sindona was working with Mr. Montini, the Secretary of the Vatican, who became Pope Paul VI. And the connection of the drugs in Milan goes back to that particular combine. Then the growth of the crime family turf in the United States after 1957, and following that the Southeast Asian War, the import of Chinese from Taiwan and Japan, and the South Korea element of the Asian drug connections linked to Reverend Moon, as I say, Mr. Ryosha Sasakawa. They make armaments, they're into drug dealing. There's the Asian and the Middle East out of Turkey and Lebanon and the valleys, where the Bekaa Valley, where Israel gets their drugs to buy guns, Iran, and then the Marseille connections, and then down to South America and Bolivia, where the combine grew to melt with the Nazis and the CIA and into Australia to the Nugent Hand Bank and over to places like Hawaii with the Rewald Public Relations Office. So the mafia drug connections are important. They're important to work with the Money Tree Foundations, with the corporate role, with the private armies. See, a private army, the combination of the five branches of armies, could go into Grenada, overthrow the country for supposedly political reasons because of Marxism down there. But the fellow who ran the country, Sir Eric Gehry, was part of the international group that had contacts with, if not dealing with, nightclub people. That was his job originally, as a nightclub operator. And he was deposed there when Maurice Bishop came in, and now he's back ready. And soon the island might be safe for Robert Vesco to invest and start putting money that he has into drug traffic. So the little armies of Green Berets, the Rangers, the Special Forces, the SEALs, and Marines all go in, and then they cling out the island and make it safe for drug dealing, which was the goal of the invasion of the Bay of Pigs to put back Batista, where there was a lot of gambling and prostitution and narcotics traffic in Cuba. Castro is an enemy. He threw them all out. The army, the political heads, the corporations, whether it's Baron Hilton with the hotel in Cuba, or the investment bankers, the people who own the agriculture, the sugar crops, or whatever, want that country or any country that they set their eyes on. The armies go in and get up for them, and a big role in that is the mafia and the drug connections. Then there is the religious connection, the religious right that is very strong. It's always been in this country, but it got well started with the early time of Reagan, and it became much more visible to the extent that it really frightened people at the GOP convention in Dallas in 1984, where they were writing the platform for this present administration and want to fill it with Christian believers, which is actually against the Constitution. And their goal, of course, set aside about 12 years ago, was $22 billion at the time to turn the entire world Christian. So the religious right has people such as Jerry Falwell, the Christian Broadcast Network, Pat Roberts, Reinhard Galen's religion. When he left the BND and retired, he went into religion. Jerry Falwell's importance with the administration. And then he isn't just a religious right. He's with the Defense Department making policies and nuclear policies that would bring on the Armageddon. And there's money for television and Christ, politics and Christ, refugees like the International Rescue Committee, with Leo Chern, World Vision, sending money to feed people if they will turn Christian, and if they don't, we turn back and turn our backs on them. The Christian right provides the cause for the armies to do the fighting, and the money is channeled through the various foundations and think tanks to the foot soldiers who will overthrow countries to make sure that eventually, after the little countries are completely covered, they will take on the big bear, which is the Soviet Union. Now, there's the wild ones that appear crazy, but are funded by the CIA, the Defense Department. They're approved by the FBI. They're protected by the judges, the police, district attorneys, the prison guards, the parole people. Those are the Ku Klux Klan. The Klan were based after a group called the Cagoulards in France. The Bouviers were related and linked to the Cagoulards. That's the hooded ones. That's the Ku Klux Klan, the National Alliance, the American Nazi Party, Identity, the Christian Defense League, the Posse Comitatus, the White American Bastion, the Order, the Silent Brotherhood, the Church of Jesus Christ, Christian Aryan Nations that I've been talking about, the Aryan Brotherhood inside the prisons, the secret army organization, working with people in the prison, some being allowed to go out on the condition they kill another person. This is a fact. I've talked to people in the prisons who had that as term of their being allowed to leave the prison. And these people appear crazy, and we'll go into more detail in a few minutes, if I have time, on their interrelationship to each other in the United States, in Canada, over in Europe, internationally. And they're always called the neo-Nazis. But their mentors and their funds and their training comes from people who worked with Adolf Hitler, were Nazis. The new ones may be the neos, but the old ones are Nazis, and they're still helping these people. The another part of this puzzle are the banks. The banking system is important. This is what makes everything hold together for a few people who know the tricks. If you read the Fortune 500 or the Forbes magazine, you get a pretty good idea of those people that have the savvy. And of course, one of the biggies in this is Chase Manhattan, also the Bank of International Settlements. And the way of manipulating this money for coups, for the Nazi, for the Reich, for the takeover, was to set up these secret Swiss accounts in Bern and in Zurich and other cities in Switzerland. They put the money away and hoped to return the deposed monarchs. And many of them, such as Juan Perón and Mr. Trujillo from the Dominican Republic, they sold away hundreds of millions of dollars over there. The president of Mexico, former president of Mexico. So this money is salted away, and also there's offshore banking, the Netherlands, Antilles, the Cayman Islands, the Bahamas, Panama. There are dummy fronts with doorknobs on them that register certain companies, and that money is salted away for those people that feel something's going to come crashing down on and they want their bucks. And then there's one more category here. I don't say finally because there's some things missing, but this is a pretty good outline of the way these various segments fit together, the law firms that make it possible. When John Kennedy was killed, because this was the major coup in this country, the drastic change of power when the head of the president was blown off, they don't find the assassin. People like Louis Neiser from his well-known law office write the introduction, the Warren Report, and David Bellin and a team of CIA lawyers write a book that is totally false. They don't want to know the assassin. They produce a patsy and stand by the chosen patsy. They write corporate law for a few people. They ignore the criminals. They're out, and if team members of theirs commit crimes, whether it's a Dan White or Mr. DeLorean or Edwin Meese or Donovan, they look the other way and have very weak investigations. So there's some offices I've cited here. One is Williams, Connolly, and Califano. Califano's close links to the overthrow of Grenada and also Knights of Malta, and it was a Catholic hospital down there. This is one office I mentioned. Sullivan and Cromwell, the famous office of John Foster Dulles, Alan Dulles, and used for a lot of spying and for Chase Manhattan and a lot of other corporate mischief that has gotten us into the problems we have today. Milbank, Tweed, Hadley, and McCloy. John J. McCloy was in that office and used false law degrees for agents of the CIA. He was on the Warren Commission, and Alan Dulles of Sullivan and Cromwell was also on the Warren Commission. Kravath, Swain, Moore is another law firm, well-known law firm. Kuder Brothers represented the Rockefellers and still does in many ways. And I listed Paul Weiss, Rifkin, Wharton, and Garrison as another kind of law office. Now, all these categories and the subjects below are simply samples of the, there are many, many names that fit into these categories, but these are the basic problems that we researchers are dealing with today, and it gets very complicated, and all of us have to cross-file two or three or four times to put these people in their proper place. But as I say, there's the think tanks, there's the deposed refugees, did I mention those, the rulers who no longer wanted, the czarists that had pogroms, excessive pogroms that were kicked out, that joined the Vaclav's army and the Solidarists, the Hungarians, the Cubans, who were cruel and tortured and short life expectancy and unhappiness down in Cuba, kicked out, they want to return, the ones that worked with Batista before Castro came in. The Vietnamese, whether it's Premier Ki, was forced to leave, or the Taiwanese, the Chiang Kai-shek family that had to leave China, infested with poverty and dope. They somehow think that they're still able to rule the world, even though they messed up their country so bad that there was this violent revolution. And the Solidarists worked with Reinhard Gehlen, Hitler's chief of intelligence, and formed Permandex. They were part of Permandex. These people had excesses of torture, killing, narcotics. They were kicked out of their countries, and they form individual armies that work to try and get a war going against the Soviet Union so they can literally be put back on their throne. So, as I say, there's the think tanks, the deposed refugees, the United States intelligence that works with British intelligence and the Vatican, the World Anti-Communist League, which is a link of a lot of people who are using death squads. They were set up by Otto Skorzeny, Hitler Skorzeny, and Stefano Della Calle, melding with Reverend Moon and the religious right. Moon goes under the religious right group also. And our veterans of wars who lost, who wanted to avenge the fact that they lost, they would have been proud to win if they could have turned these countries into pavement. The corporate role in altering the way countries exist, such as Mr. McCone of ITT, John McCone, who he was once the director of the Central Intelligence Agency, who didn't like Allende, wanted Mr. Pinochet in Chile. So they have their corporate spies, and they make corporate money off of keeping the wages for copper workers down low. So the religious right, the mafia and drug connections, the Klan and the Nazis, the crazy one, the banking and the law firms, all of these various groups all work together, about 12 of them that I just named here as examples. Now, why do these seemingly separate groups get along so well? The common denominator that I can see between all of them, there's two common denominators. One is they want a Christian world. They are avowedly Christian. And the second is that they want war with Russia. They don't want to coexist with Russia at all. They want to wipe out what appears to be the evil empire, because when Karl Marx said religion is the opiate of the people, you take away the excuse for the fighting and for the activity if you take away the religious goal. I think that I put it in simplified terms, but I think that those are the two common denominators. There is the money profit. There's always money and profit. I guess you'd say that is one of the motives, but beyond money, there's people doing very terrible things that don't make a lot of money at it. And I think they have believed through their childhood upbringing, through the pastor, the church, the teacher, and the parents, that it should be a Christian world, and they want a Christian world, and they don't want the Soviet Union, and so they're willing to do anything to not have to coexist with the Soviet Union. And as a result, they're leading us right into World War III. The plans were set a long time ago, within hours of World War II, and it's certainly after World War I, the rearming of Germany began very rapidly. So this is their goal, and I can't see a day that they don't get closer to it with their government contracts and their strategies and the placement of troops all over the world. So in the past year, it's taken a lot of time to think about these separate groups, but they've become very clear in my mind, and it is a source of satisfaction to take just about any news event or article and put it into one of these categories and see where it fits and the people involved, how they relate to the other segments of this puzzle. There is an overall picture. The view is quite clear, and I'm satisfied that it's come out. I don't like the way it came out, but I'm satisfied that it fits so well together. We'll take a one-minute break now and then get on to some more news that's important in the newspaper this week, and then we begin another new year.